Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. I guess I've made this transition so far, and for those who've made the transition with me, simply give me a heads up, because right now I don't seem to be able to get into the chat room. It doesn't seem to be cooperating. So as of right now, I don't have a clue. But then too, I will continue. I guess I'll simply have to fly blind here, because I don't know whether or not I'm being heard or however. Let me continue with some particular topics, those incidentals, if you really want to know the truth about it. That's exactly what they are, simply incidentals. Because what we were speaking about over the last hour on the Al Ford Show is what we will continue to talk about. My narrative will simply be that at some point in time, accountability, there has to be a level of accountability. Hopefully, let's see here, 617. 617, is that you?
Hey, Alpha, welcome to our common ground. This is where we need to be on a Saturday afternoon. It's 2 degrees in Boston, Massachusetts. Oh, yeah. You have to turn on your chat room on your switchboard.
I've tried to plug into the chat room. It's telling me that it's not available. For some reason. That's what I was saying earlier, that I'm clicking on the chat room.
Okay, well, I'll let your audience know that if they would like to join us in chat, they can go to ourcommonground-talk.ning.com. And the chat room is open on ourcommonground-talk.ning.com. I'll say it again. It's ourcommonground-talk.ning.com. Chat room is open right now. And they can listen to your show and just as we used to do in the old days at ustalknetwork.com.
Well, okay. I've just made a another particular thing, giving me the same thing. Chat is not open at this time.
Yeah.
Must be logged in. Please log in. I don't know what that's about. I'm already logged in, and then it's not giving me an opportunity. The cursor will not give me an arrow. So
log
in there. But
something's going on at Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we will overcome this.
Yes. Maybe their chat client went down, and that's why you can't have a chat room. But people are welcome to come to ourcommonground-talk.ning.com, and the chat room is open there. You can listen to Alpha on Blog Talk Radio, and in another window be chatting at the same time. Thank you, Alpha, for joining us at Our Common Ground. I'll let you go on with your show.
Thank you very much, Janice, for all of the, I would say, the board work. She is my producer. Thank you very much. I have over and over and over again stated that there simply needs to be a particular level of accountability. There has to be an eye-opening scenario that actually calls out who's behind the scenes, who's making the calls, who's formulating these decisions that control the narrative that we see here and the images that we see. Who controls that? And what is their agenda? Because there's absolutely an agenda there. There's absolutely someone sitting behind the scenes who is simply framing this argument, and framing this argument in a very negative way towards all of us. A very negative way towards all of us, because once you get into this paradigm of every time you look up, the faces of the competition, the faces of the opposition party carries 75% of the airtime. Their narrative is what's being spoken. They do not share your beliefs. They do not share your ideas. They are doing nothing. Instead of asking what Obama has to do to get health care done, instead of them asking, why isn't Obama able to carry his message? Why isn't this? You know, it's all about common sense. And the common sense of this, to me, tells me that there is a concerted effort to keep this shadow government, as Janice Graham so articulately described it. This is what they want. If they can control the message, if they can control the media, they also control the banks, they control Wall Street, they control the money, then at what point and what chance other than groundswell voter support? And they're controlling that also because they have control of the voting machines. They basically control it, period. And if we can't get the message through, we came across a narrative in the previous hour of is or does President Obama command the ability to frame the argument? And I have to say this. No, he doesn't. But then what he should be doing is moving, absolutely moving, to frame that argument, to be able to frame the argument and say, literally, this is what's happening and this is what we need to concentrate on. Not the repetition of the Republican talking points. Not the over and over and over again that you get when you hear the right come out with their message. Just the mere fact that that's all you hear. And if that's all you're hearing, you are not hearing what is important, what needs to be heard. If you have a group, if you have a particular, I would say, a particular narrative, an ideology that says over and over and over again, this is what we're about, this is what we want to, I would say, propagate. This is our message. But you don't have any equal message coming from the other side. You can very easily be lulled into that sense of this is what people are talking about. How many times do you have to hear one side, different people, 20, 30 different people saying, polls are showing us that the public doesn't want health care reform, which is nothing more than polls are showing us that we want to keep the status quo, all the while sitting back saying we want to reform health care, but not like that. But then your way of reforming health care is simply saying, hey, you are not listening to what the people want, and that's what they want. They wanted public option, but you're not listening. They want Wall Street reform, but you're not listening. They want the ability to deal with the student loans in a very creditable scenario, but they can't have it. Filibuster after filibuster. Disabling of the government is what you are getting. The willful gridlock, and to hell the destruction of the lives of people who simply are, I guess, in the abyss of propaganda. Because that's exactly what we're having. That's exactly what we have. We have a level of propaganda that is being pushed upon us. And the fight back, the push back, is really nowhere to be seen. It's nowhere to be had. So at what point and at what time do you actually sit back and say to yourself, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. What do we have to do? What do we have to do to get accountability in the media? What is it that we have to do to get a level of responsibility? We need real journalism. We need real journalism because the alternative is simply to listen to what we're being told, what's being funneled to us. Just like we didn't have elections, we had selection. That's exactly what we're getting in our media. We're not getting elections. We're getting selection. They select who's available to be voted for, and that's being carefully done. The same as I've said against and the way I've gone after this particular president. He is in a rock and a hard spot. And no, I'm not anti-Barack Obama, despite what comes from myself as simply an advocate for who is going to tell the truth and who is going to be up front. I've been very critical of this president because of his unwillingness, his lack of fight. But that doesn't mean I don't support him. I support him because I want him to fight. I support him because I have a problem with the constant capitulation. Now he's going to move the KSM trial to the military commission, where there's only been 3 convictions and 2 of them are walking free and have possibly rejoined the fight. There's only 1 doing a life sentence. So what does that offer up? What does that say about this president? Complain about him? Criticize him? And he will fold. He has a history, a long history of folding. He's folded on the Patriot Act. He's folded on the public option. He's folded over and over and over every time he gets a level of criticism. And that level of criticism simply speaks to how often they say it, how many times they parade themselves before the camera to use it. So where is it that we as, I would say, liberal progressives can be effective? Where is it that we can say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right? The people at the FCC needs to hear, there needs to, you know, this coffee party, bold progressives who have launched this campaign and launched this primary challenge to Blanche Lincoln, MoveOn.org, all of these are the vehicles which need to turn their sights on this FCC and this media narrative that seems to be highly, I would say, which seems to be puppets of the right. They only speak their narrative. They only cover what they want to cover and what the right wants them to cover. The right wants them to cover this. That's just what they cover. We saw this past week, real, real ugly, ugly scenarios in New York with the politicians. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to hone, to shield for the corruption, the politicians that are corrupt. I am simply saying this. Why is it such a huge story about Charlie Rangel? And he is a huge story. He is a huge story. And what's the guy's name? Mercer, Maka, Massa, that's his name. And the allegations of inappropriate language to some young man. Or even the governor of New York and his shortcomings. Why is it that this is what we hear and this is where it's coming from? 347-838-9852. If you'd like to get in with me here, I see I have a caller. 916. 916, enter. And identify yourself, please.
How you doing, Alfo? This is Information Man.
Information Man, how you doing, my brother?
Good to hear you. I just was calling in to primarily listen to your show by the phone. And I also say that you're totally right. You're spending way too much time focusing on things that are not of importance. I had a chance to listen to Charlie Rangel on the radio show, Joe Madison's show, and he said that he's never even been charged with any of the things that they're talking about. There's no charges. No charges have been come upon him. And I think most of what he got himself caught up in is travel expenses, sort of like how Adam Clayton Powell got caught up. And they haven't filed anything on him. So everything is still under investigation. And I think it's just a distraction, Alfo, to keep us off of the real issues. And this is another way for the Republican Party to chip away at the Democrats because of these 2010 midterm elections coming up.
Well, Infoman, you have to admit, they're being very, very effective because there is no pushback. This Charlie Rangel scenario, this David Patterson, and this Massa, who is the House rep in that particular state. Now, I'm not saying those aren't important topics or those aren't important issues, but wouldn't you be a little more interested in that issue that Eric Cantor's wife is bank director and sits on the board of the Chamber of Commerce? And Eric Cantor's wife sitting on this board, and this particular bank that she's the bank director of still owes the taxpayers TARP money, millions of TARP money. And yet they are funneling taxpayer dollars into campaigning against health care reform. They are unable to or unwilling to or haven't been held accountable to account for this money that they are pouring into the campaign to stop health care reform. She's a
bank director.
She sits on the board of the Chamber of Commerce, and they are leading the way in trying to kill health care reform. Now, where is the investigation on that, and why is it that Liz Cheney can come out with just off the wall, out of her behind, allegations, innuendo, speculation about Justice Department lawyers? Open up and run an ad showing Eric Holder and the Al Qaeda, one of the Al Qaeda leaders, side by side. And the question is, who values do they share? Just that implication, just that innuendo. Why is it that that can be the focus? And it's now being pushed back on big time, but yet you don't hear about Eric Cantor's wife and her ties with this bank that are funneling this money. And you can hear a Michelle Bachmann calling for a House investigation of the Department of Justice, but you don't hear her standing steadfast and calling for the conflict of interest investigation or the investigation in the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Accountability, real journalism is what is needed.
Alpha, you know as well as I do, we haven't had real journalism for decades. What you have is a tabloid. We have a tabloid, media. Media thrives off of whatever the hottest scandalous story is. And then you got to keep in mind those who control the media, what are their political affiliations? And that's where you can also find your answers to why certain things are not reported, because you have to see that most of the media is controlled by very conservative people with conservative views and have political agendas as well, and you know that. So, but it's up to folks like ourselves and other people who know what's going on to report, like you're reporting right now, to enlighten and bring to the light what's really going on. But it's almost like the Democrats are trying to, like, lose control.
It's not like they can. They are simply willing to just fall by the wayside. They are cowards. They are political cowards. 111 wants to get in here with us, Info Man. 111, thank you for joining me.
Sit back and listen.
Hi, thanks. This is Jay.
How you doing, Jay?
Okay.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm a Republican.
No problem.
Well, come on in.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, but I think that the people, you know, all these politicians, Rangel or whoever, that have all these little things, that's not good, but that's not really the issue that, you know, most people are thinking about. They're thinking about government taking over healthcare, and they're afraid, you know. Like, take a look at the public schools. Government basically took over the public schools, and that's a very important thing, education, but look at how they're running them, and look at the results of the service.
Okay.
Can I make a point, sir?
Absolutely.
I wanted to make this statement, and just give me your opinion. I hear a lot of people, especially on your side of the party, saying that Americans don't want healthcare program, but yet they never define, when they say Americans, what Americans are they talking about? Because from what I can see, most of the people who say they don't want this healthcare are people who do have healthcare, and they're happy with what they've got, because you know why? They haven't gotten super sick. Most of us think that our healthcare is good because we go in for our basic checkups and our basic lab work. But until we come down with a serious condition, I used to work in nursing homes for over eight years, and I used to see people when they became terminally ill, how our so-called healthcare system that's run by the private sector, how it won't pay for certain things because it's all managed care. They won't pay for a certain amount of therapy or this and that. And so when you really get sick, then you really find out how good or bad the so-called private industry health care is. What I'm trying to say is for people who have health care benefits, of course you're going to say you like what you got. And the people who don't have health care, period, they're the ones that may say they want this because they don't have it, sir. And the problem is the haves and the have-nots is what you got in this whole argument. The people who have, they don't want it because they like what they got. And so is this really about a health care issue, or is it really about making sure that poor people in this society, once again, don't live off the nipples, off the political nipple of the government by saying, well, why are they why is the government subsidizing this and subsidizing that? And the fact of the matter is our healthcare industry has been hijacked by the insurance companies, which is the reason why we don't have free healthcare in this country, because the insurance companies, they jack up your premiums. They jack up what you can – I've seen people die because of the damn insurance company. So I think our whole argument as it relates to healthcare is a bunch of political nonsense, because why is it that the politicians won't give us the healthcare that they get that we're subsidizing for them? They're getting welfare. My tax dollars pay for their good healthcare, so why can't I not get what they're getting? And it's an option. If I like what I'm getting in my healthcare now, sir, and I like it, then I'm not going to go for the government plan. But if I don't like my healthcare and I want the choice of having the government plan, then I should be given that choice. Isn't that what Republicans always talk about? Choice.
No, but giving sir, but
choice. Yeah, go ahead,
no, about. Okay.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I apologize. I apologize for interrupting. No, look, well, first of all, with competition and the government, you see, when the government comes into an industry, imagine whatever business you're in, all of a sudden the government comes in and they're charging half price that you're charging. And they don't even care that they're losing money every year, because they just take from taxpayer money and they funnel it. So they, the same plan that the insurance company offers, they're going to offer it at half price. They don't care. It's the taxpayer money is going to fund it. And the insurance company is going to go out of business. You can't compete
so wait a
like
minute,
that.
Jay. Excuse me for interrupting. You characterize this as a government takeover. When you've got Medicare, you've got the VA, you've got the OP, you've got everything that is not privately held. When you talk about Medicare, 95% of the people are happy with their Medicare. And I know you're going to say, well, Medicare is losing X amount of dollars. This has been the case, and this is the case, of the post office. What about the post office? UPS exists, FedEx exists, and they all coexist. Bookstores exist. Libraries, public libraries exist. Together, when you start talking about a lack of competition in healthcare coverage and in the healthcare industry, healthcare used to be nonprofit. How can you justify $107,000 an hour by Hemsley? How can you justify the millions, the billions that the CEOs from WellPoint, Anthem, all of them, you, how can you justify that?
Look, no, I know I can't justify it, but look, we're implying that the healthcare now is a free market. Let me just a point. The politicians in each state decide exactly which insurance companies are the only ones allowed to sell in their state, and they choose maybe one, two, or three insurance companies in each state. Doesn't matter how many there are around the nation. Wherever you're living right now, you only have a choice of the one, two, or three that politicians put into and let operate. They give them license. Why do they give them? Who do they give license to? They give the license to the insurance companies that funnel billions of dollars in reimbursements to the hospitals and to medical services. If they don't, they lose their license and they bring someone in. That's why United Health and all these big companies are in all the states, because they play ball. The whole entire system we have now, that's not a free market. A free market is anyone can buy any insurance company they want. But right now we don't. We have it completely controlled. The reimbursement rates, which insurance company takes the premium from you, how much they send out to each direction, Also, anyone that wants to open any medical service, an MRI center, a drug rehab center, you got to get politically approved. And they don't approve anyone unless it's someone they're doing a favor for and say, here's a $10 million profit business a year, drug rehab center. Insurance is going to pay you $3,000 a day for everyone that goes in there from the insurance. That's the funneling system we have now. It's not free market. And now,
I was going to say, sir, to you, everything you're saying, you're making very good points, but once again, healthcare in the state that it is right now is costing the American taxpayers. I mean, isn't that what Republicans always talk about? We don't want taxpayers paying more taxes for this and that. Well, the healthcare system as it is right now is costing us more. When Obama, when President Obama decided to go this route, his whole idea was to say, let's take some of the cost out of healthcare. In other words, if I go to get a checkup, I shouldn't be double dipped on when they can do everything I need in one place. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to work at the VA in San Francisco when I was coming out of college, and they decided they were going to consolidate the VA and cut it, split everything up. And so that means veterans would have to go from one hospital to another, and they couldn't get everything done in one place.
Okay, let me get 931 in here. I'm sorry to cut you off, Info Man. Let me get 931 in here, and you can continue. 931, are you there? 931, are you there? Well, I don't know if 931 is there. I don't hear 931.
I guess the point I'm just trying to make is the way the system is already, sir, it seems like we're spending more money to maintain a system that's already taking taxpayers, is already burning our money. And we're spending more money when we got people dying, of course, and managed care is sucking up people dry because when you got managed care, they're only going to pay for so many things. Anyway, so what would you suggest would be better?
I'll tell you right now, I'm telling you that the people that are telling you that the government option is going to give competition, those are the same politicians, the state politicians that make up the Congress, that don't allow more than one or two or three insurance companies to sell in the state. They give the license. They only let one, two, or three because they want to completely control where the money goes. If all we have to do is this, tell the government, stop telling us that we have to buy the insurance companies that you put into our state. Let us decide from the 1,300 that are across the country, because when you do that, the day that you do that, every insurance company now is going to, you're going to start to see for the first time commercials on TV, because the only way they're going to get business is if they offer you a good plan at a good price and provide good service. Because right now, they know they get business because the politician put them there, and that's it. It's done. Doesn't matter what they do. They all raise their price. They're good.
Jay,
no one can see them.
I'm sorry, Jay. When you speak about the 1,300 insurance companies that are throughout this country, and you say that the states alone in that category of antitrust exemption, because do you believe that for some reason these insurance companies are not price fixing? They are not getting together and getting that. I mean, there's no accountability. They're only the second entity in this country.
You're absolutely right. Let me tell you something.
Why? That's part of this Obama healthcare reform.
No, by law, in 1945, I believe, or right around there, in 1945, the Congress, liberals, progressives in the Congress, passed a law that says that health insurance companies are exempt from antitrust laws.
Okay, but you're right. But what I'm simply saying is that has to be repealed. That has to be pushed back on. That's not good for the people. And if that's not good for the people, well, if that's not good for the people, how can it be good? And here's my next question to you. Just open up Medicare and forget about everything. Just open up Medicare. And now, if the private health insurance corporations, and let's not forget, they started out nonprofit. They started out nonprofit. And they have, look at what they've ballooned to. And look at the rate increases that this nation has seen. They've seen double-digit rate increases. If you can justify 39%, 25%, Michigan is facing 56% rate increase.
Sir, let me tell you something. You're 100% right, but the reason why the rates are increasing, why are the rates increasing? Because they have monopolies.
Well,
that's why. The insurance companies make a tiny percent profit. They make a 2, 3% profit. All the money they collect is funneled to politically tied service centers and reimbursements. $1,000 an MRI scan, 15 times a day just to one center that has 10 machines. They actually get like $100,000 a day reimbursement. It's money funneled. The insurance companies have to play along. They only make a tiny profit margin because all the money is just funneled. It's a money. It's always about the money. That's why we got to, and then the politicians are not going to remove the antitrust exemption because they're making the money. That's why Michelle Obama had a job for $300,000 a year at Chicago Hospital because Obama was the senator voting. And that's why Chicago Hospital makes $100 million profit a year, and then they say that the insurance premiums are going up because of the uninsured. But it seems like you have $100 million over. How did the insurance company send $100 million more that you have such a big profit and then you can't take care of the uninsured because the uninsured have nothing to do with it? The uninsured are only 15%. I mean, if 85% have insurance, and that means we only have to pay – if everyone pays 20% more premium, we can pay for insurance for all the other 15%. It's just a small percent. Insurance rates should only go up 15%, but they go up by triple. Why? Has nothing to do with the uninsured. That's just an excuse for Democrats to use that they used to try to convince us that they have to take over all of healthcare because the uninsured problem affects all of us.
Well,
it's not because of that.
You continue to say, take over healthcare. Government take over healthcare, and that's not what's being proposed. And that's simply, I mean, you dilute your argument when you start using take over government healthcare. And this thing about Michelle Obama was on the board of Chicago Hospital, and that's why Obama, you know, she was on this board prior to him becoming Senator Obama.
No. No, he became senator. Then they created this position, and they gave her this job in a position that didn't exist. She had the job for a few years. Then she had to go campaign for president. She left the job, and that position does not exist anymore. This is happening nonstop. This is what it is. They know the hospital makes $100 million profit, and they can give 50 of their friends or political favors, $300,000 job, $100,000 job, contracts. The money is funneled. It's right there. That's why would it be $100,000 to stay in a hospital for 10 days? Why is an MRI scan cost $1,000? Why isn't insurance agree to pay to that MRI scan?
Oh, you're speaking of
$1,000.
Let me get 617 in. 617. Are you there? I don't. Yes.
Oh, man. Hey, Alpha, I respect you. Jay, I just had to call in to tell you that Michelle Obama was making $350,000 because she was an honors graduate from Harvard Law School and had requisite experience. I do hear what you are saying, but her job was not made possible by the government. Her job was made possible by a consortium of insurance companies. And this is one of the fixes that will come about as a result of having some regulation over what the insurance companies do. Now, you are absolutely right. One of the reasons that we are not getting the health care reform bill that we need in this country, which is actually universal health, is because how the insurance company complex, I want to call it the insurance military industrial complex, has bought off political favor. That is why we're not getting what we want. It has nothing to do. It was not until we began to have some funding regulations over how healthcare was delivered in community-based hospitals that poor people started getting the kind of healthcare that you see now they get across the country through the Medicaid and the Medicare program. But I don't think that this whole notion of big government is the reason why all of this is going to fail. Big government isn't the reason why education fails in this country. Big government, education fails in this country because you've got numbskulls, incompetents, who are running our school systems throughout the nation.
Exactly.
Right. Big government
came in the form of an inadequate, incompetent, poorly written, and misguided regulations on education through a bill called No Child Left Behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not big government. It is incompetent policymakers, people who don't have a clue, nor do they have an understanding, nor do they have a will to make democracy work in this country. They are the gatekeepers to democracy. And the party that you flout, the Republicans, are at the top of the list. If you begin to look at the deregulation that happened at the beginning under Reaganomics, if you begin to look at those regulations, then you begin to see not what big government does, but what corrupt government does.
But, ma'am, look at the universal education system. That's what we have now. You know, there are private schools, but, you know, they can't really compete with the public schools for 90% of America because it's free. So, you know, how are you going to say, hey, pay $5,000 to my school? No, I'm going here for free. So that's what 90% of the kids go to. Government completely controls it. So there's no worry about complaining that they don't have control or the regulations don't work.
But what government?
They have complete
control over it. It's like saying politicians. It's like saying all politicians don't agree with the health care reform bill, as opposed to saying Ted Kennedy or Dennis Kucinich or whoever agrees with this bill. You know, we can't keep using these words because I'll tell you what, public education worked in this country until public education had to serve all children.
But, ma'am, I'm just asking a question. Why is it if government controls education? Education is exponentially easier to deliver that service than healthcare. You know, it's 30 kids in a room with a good teacher, but it's not like healthcare where there's thousands of healthcare products and
surgery.
Who
controls the school? Who controls the curriculum?
The politicians control the schools.
But
it's
you can't say
schools.
The politicians. The politicians could be just anybody. The politicians now are the corporations.
No,
thanks to the Supreme Court, thanks to Robbins and his ilk.
Ma'am, let me explain. Let me tell you my theory of why the schools are failing and why private schools do 95% graduate and go to college. Why? Because in a competitive environment, when the private schools know that if they don't give the best school and every kid in that class doesn't learn, they know parents are not paying them any money and they're going to send them to another private school. So they have to do provide the good service or the people won't choose them and they disappear and they don't provide any bad service to anyone. Public schools run by the government, they don't have to compete with anyone. They know they
but
have a
But Jay, you can't keep saying the government. You
well,
cannot. I do not accept some label called the government because school boards control the government. The Federal Department of Education funds what the school board says they're going to do.
Okay, it's shifted, but it's not. It's more about the process. The thing is that the schools, the public schools, whoever's running them, they know that they can have a 60-70% dropout rate. They can have teachers that don't teach. They can have kids drop out. And they're going to have a job next year, and the school's going to be open next year. So that's why that happens. It will never end. Only
but,
with competition.
But that's not because of big government. That is
it's
not good. Because of big government.
It's because lack of free competition. That's why.
Free competition, it's really interesting that when a democracy moves to and acts to actually make real the democracy that everybody starts talking about, the government. The government was fine until the government came face-to-face with the demands and the challenges of real democracy. Because any school system that is failing, it is failing at the hands of a local school board, a local superintendent,
yeah.
a local community.
Every single one. It just so
but
happens.
That's
I don't care about
government.
Okay.
That's not big government.
It's a
that
service
is,
provided by the government that they try to provide and they fail. That's all I'm saying. What's going to be local hospitals too? It's going to be local health centers too. The federal government's going
to. I happen to live in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and I can tell you that the elements that are in the bill before this Congress right now have been real, have worked, and are based on a model of community health care delivery and community-based health insurance coverage that has worked.
Let me ask you a question. Oh.
I've got to get 405 in here because we've got about 11 minutes.
Jay, I hope you'll join us. We're here every Saturday. I have a great deal of respect because you are talking from a basis of your personal principles and beliefs rather than some talking points that some idiot in Washington gave you to talk. And I really appreciate that. Alpha, thank you. I'm going to get off so you can have some more callers. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Infoman.
How are you doing? Alpha, I'm going to get off too, but I just want to say to your caller, I understand what you're saying. You don't want government invading in your personal life, but that's the talking point that's used too often. How many people like yourself who say the government in schools, how many people like yourself have actually worked in schools, worked with kids?
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything like that. I just said that public schools don't compete. That's why they're not going to do better. Just the process.
You're saying that there's a reason why they don't work, and I'm saying unless you've worked in private and public schools, and you've worked with kids like I have, okay, and you see what's really going on, Ms. Graham is right. It's really local. All government is local. It's your local idiots that are causing kids not to learn. You don't have – President Obama is not in a classroom trying to put a dictation on kids or Washington. It's what people are doing local.
But, sir, look, every service you use, you know, every restaurant you go to, every store you go to, there was thousands of stores that opened in your town. But only the best ones that the people chose stayed, and all the ones that had dirty and old food disappeared because of competition. That doesn't happen.
You're right. But
you're there.
I'm going to get off the phone, and, Jay, I'll talk to you again, sir. Good points, and, Alpha, good show. Take care.
Thank you, Infoman. 405, are you there?
Yes, Alpha. You don't have the chat room up, I see, huh?
We're at Our Common Ground chat room. I was unable to access the Blog Talk chat room because it just wouldn't cooperate. It was giving me a not available site. So we're all over at the Our Common Ground Ning site. Janice Graham.
Right, I'm here at the Ning site. But I just wanted to say to Jay that I agree with Janice and that school boards – are local, and they control the content, the curriculum, who teaches and who does not teach, just as we've seen school teachers being fired across the nation because of so-called perceived incompetence. Now, to direct the subject back to health care, Mr. Jay, I'd like to ask you, I pay right now retired, fixed income, my health care for just my wife and I is $398 a month, minus not even adding $125 extra if I wanted dental. Now, I ask you, where's the competition? We need a government option. We should have free health care in this country. I didn't want my tax dollars directed to go to the wars that the elitists have in this country that are backing, have stocks and bonds and have financial interests in Halliburton and other defense contractors around this country to produce war machines and to spend that money on these wars in countries where I'm not at. That's not threatening the United States, as we know, Iraq was not. No weapons of mass destruction. So I want my tax dollars back here where I can have a standard living wage in my retirement to where I don't have to be giving it up every year to some insurance company just to pay my insurance premium.
Well, I don't know. What I've said And, you know, people don't believe it or don't integrate it, but I'm telling you that the politicians in your state tell you exactly which insurance company you can buy from. It's like, what if I told you that there was only three supermarkets in the entire county that you could buy from that the politicians chose?
I agree with
and
that.
Imagine and imagine that. No, but imagine that shopping, that supermarket was charging triple the rates.
It's not helping my pocketbook today.
No, I'm just saying, but because they're charging triple the rate, so why don't we just tell the government to not tell us only these three and let us buy from wherever we want, and then the price will come down. But they gave monopolies to those three supermarkets, and then everyone's shopping there and complaining, and what do? You say to the government, don't force us to buy only from these three. Let us buy from wherever we want.
They addressed this problem 10 years ago.
Yes, your premise is nothing that just took hold in the last 18 months, 15 months. This is a premise, and you keep saying it's the politicians, it's the government. You know, this is what they do. They vilify government. When Democrats are in office, it's always about spending. It's always about raising the debt. The debt rose. Reagan rose it. Reagan grew the debt 189%. W.H. grew the debt 55%. W. Bush grew the debt 89%. Carter grew the debt 42%, and Clinton grew the debt 36%.
Because the deficit was tiny.
Spending and debt raising.
I'm going to get off, Alpo. Thank you very much. I'll be listening on the phone. Thank you, Jay.
Right, Don. Thank you for calling, Don.
Bush also doubled the tax revenue collected by government.
Bush also doubled the tax revenue. Come on. You know,
look at the numbers. Look at the numbers.
These are the numbers that I saw. I saw that revenue, the amount of revenue that was taken in by the government has been at its all-time low under Bush. Job creations at an all-time low under Bush. Those tax cuts that he budget reconciliated. And why are you not so incensed about budget reconciliation over the last, say, 20 years? It's been used 22 times, 16 times by Republicans to get the Bush tax cuts, which are doubled what health care proposals are going to cost.
Sir,
I mean,
let me just tell, in 2000, when Bush took office, these are just numbers, the revenue that the government collected was $1.7 trillion. In 2007, the revenue that the government collected was $2.8 trillion, and now it's over $3-point-something trillion. That's why the budget is $3 trillion right now, or even more. That's why the deficit is bigger, but the government has been collecting more and more, but they're spending even more. That's been the problem. But
when you speak about those numbers, the deficit, the money that's coming in, is borrowed money from China. This is money that has been borrowed to finance the off-the-book wars, to finance the off-the-book tax cuts. This is money that was brought in, that was borrowed, that has increased the debt. That's why the debt has been increased. Jay, I want to thank you very much for calling in. Hey, don't be a stranger. Join us. I'm here on a regular basis on the Alpo Show at 3 o'clock Eastern, and I was hoping that you will join us. I mean, I enjoy the give and take, and without the over and over and over again, the talking points. And can you please just tell them to slow down with the how many people have to say, let's start over, let's wipe the slate clean? How many people have to say, the people don't want it, the people don't want it? It is just repetition, and that's where the credibility collapses under their hypocrisy, especially after it is on film as to what they're saying now differs from what they said a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Jay, thank you. Thank you for calling. If you have closing comment, please.
Yeah, okay. First of all, I didn't say anything about Rangel. I didn't say anything about reconciliation. You know, a lot of times what you guys like to do is say, oh, they're so angry about that. Oh, look, that's not like what we're angry about. If in my county there was only three supermarkets that the government, that the politicians, the state politicians gave a license to operate, didn't allow any other supermarket to open, and if that was the county I'm living in, I'd be like, the solution is to stop that and let us buy from wherever supermarket we want, and whoever opens the supermarket, we can buy from them so that they compete and the prices come down. That's the solution, not the government. The people that don't allow competition, that are the ones that put those three supermarkets in place, are now telling us, oh, we want a government option. What they really want is they want more money because the premiums are too high. No one can pay more. So they want to take from the taxpayer money to send reimbursements. And that's my thank you for letting me talk, and I appreciate the discussion, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you very much. Well, I've got about 90 seconds left, and I just want to say this has been a very fruitful and a very informative 2 hours discussion we've had on two different shows. I want to thank Janice Graham for her board consideration for allowing me to extend my show on her show. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Information Man. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, everyone. And I'll leave you all with a question.